Good evening, everybody. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and I always ask you this question. Who's a paradigm shifter to you? To me, paradigm shifters are people who are making a difference in the collective, on our planet, in our species, at this wonderful change time on Earth right now. And tonight's paradigm shifter is a wonderful, amazing woman who herself is an intuitive and a clairvoyant, but she's moved with the great flows of consciousness. She has moved very swiftly into, I think, very swiftly anyway, into applying consciousness principles to business and making a difference, even helping businesses move from the more unconscious mode into the conscious mode. So my guest tonight, and I want us to welcome her right now, is Natalie Zattuny. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Hello, Veronica. Hello, everybody.
You know what? I just loved some of the YouTube. I was listening to, I didn't do it until late because I've been through your material, but you have a long interview that's visual, and it's just wonderful. I recommend everybody to go on to consciousbusinesscenter.com and check that out if you'd like more information about Natalie's approach. It's really good, I think. So what is consciousness?
What was the question, Veronica?
What is consciousness?
Consciousness is it's a field. It exists in everything, everywhere. And we, as human beings, sometimes can tap into it, connect with it, and create with joy within that field. It's a very fundamental building block or fundamental element of the universe, of how things come into being. I believe that before we see anything on the physical realm, there is a conscious dimension that have envisioned it, desired it, thought about it before it came into being. So it's basically, you know, the way we, early on, the Chinese medicine have identified, and the indigenous traditions have identified wind, fire, earth, air, ether. We've identified some key elements or fundamental building blocks of the universe. Consciousness is a fundamental building block of the universe. We did not have the language early on to articulate exactly what it is, but I feel like as we're moving forward, we're learning to decipher the language of consciousness, to connect with it, and to create. And when we tap into it, the existence and the reality we experience is expanded. It's a wider, higher, deeper experience of our reality.
So you're saying we're able to create our reality if we understand it better, if we move with consciousness?
Yes, exactly. Now consciousness exists in all things. For example, the things around you in your house, they're conscious. They have a different vibration in which they communicate. They have an essence. So maybe consciousness could be described as an essence, and then humans have a consciousness which is much more developed and much more has been developing for so many thousands of years that it can actually create. It has a creative power, and this is why this conversation is so exciting.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this. Do you think that it's more, you talked about like the history and how, you know, bit by bit we weren't able to read the clues and so on. But I'm pretty aware, or it seems to me, and you're also an intuitive and a clairvoyant and so on, but it seems to me that it's changing radically, that consciousness for us all is more available and us as receptors and users of it are more awake to it. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree. So, you know, like everything else, the first step is actually recognizing that consciousness is its own energy, its own essence. a consciousness exists and giving it a name and recognizing it. You know, when there's a problem, if so-called a problem, but if something arises in our awareness, and we're not even aware that it's there, we can't even address it. So I agree with you. The first thing that happened, that has been happening the last 20, 30 years, more powerfully and more clearly, and is articulated in the mainstream media and society, is that there is such thing as consciousness. And now we're in a process. There are scientists, quantum physicists, researchers, anthropologists are learning to actually articulate what it is. What are the dimensions of consciousness, and how does it come into being, and how does it affect what we create and what we attract around us? And we're starting to find some correlation. That's why the movie The Secret and The Law of Attraction and all those other movies that came that were very powerful and were able to really shift how we look at things is because they are touching a very important element of consciousness. So yes, to answer your question, absolutely, it is first of all identified as a building block, as a core creative power in the universe and in us as human beings. And the next step is like, wow, if consciousness is indeed a very important element, then what is it exactly? How does it behave? How does it move around? How can I shift my reality, my abundance, my well-being, if I'm more tapped into my personal consciousness and collective consciousness?
Do you think that there is a shift going on as we keep hearing? And is that a break in how things have been? How does that relate to consciousness?
Yes. So, you know, when the light bulb, so-called invention or idea came into being, a whole world of electricity, of electronics, of computers came into being. When agriculture was in cultivating a land in order for it to grow food for people, was revealed by the indigenous people, a whole new era has emerged as a result of those inventions or ideas or revelations that...
Like the cotton jenny, right?
Yes, exactly. So now, what's interesting is consciousness as a field of existence is revealing itself to us, even through quantum physics. I mean, they are revealing that in order to interpret reality, the physical reality, even micro and macro reality, we have to bring into consideration other dimensions of existence. Now, what does it mean that there's more dimensions? And how is the viewer that is viewing the experiment actually impacting the reality it's experiencing? So what I'm trying to say is we are now revealing that there's a revelation. There is an awareness that consciousness exists. And we are in a process of playing with it, experimenting with it, healing with it, creating nations and creating societies with it, like we have virtual networks and virtual social networks on the internet. This is all because of one scientific revelation, and then that followed by many, many others that brought into the computer science era that we live in. So we're actually moving from agricultural to industrial to information age. We learn how to process information, and now I believe probably 20 years ago, more significantly, we are entering a consciousness age. And consciousness age means that there's a new invention or a new revelation that will impact how we perceive the world, how we operate in the world radically. And that revelation of that awareness of consciousness and how to even put words around it and articulate it is going to bring a significant jump or a significant paradigm shift in how we're creating. So perhaps, and again, I don't want to be too esoteric or mystical in my conversation.
You can be mystical here. It's good.
So the question is, could we, instead of having a conference call or flying for 10 hours to Hong Kong, could we actually move our being to be in Hong Kong right now and experience a meeting with another person? Is that possible for us as human beings?
Yes.
I say it is possible. though we're doing now, we're actually having those meetings and we're transferring ourselves through the planet, through technology. The next phase is we'll be able to transfer ourselves to communicate, to broadcast individually through our consciousness. So it's all going to be based on vibration, on what you can see, where you want to go, where you want to travel, and what you want to create, and who you want to collaborate with. So it's really as radical as inventing, as moving from the Stone Age caveman mentality to moving to the 21st century, that we have really space shuttle created and internet technologies created. It's that radical, but this is going to happen in the next 20 to 30 years, even earlier than that. And this is, I feel, what's so exciting and why it's so important to start looking and investigating personal consciousness and collective consciousness on a mega scale.
Okay, so do you think that we can actually influence this being a kinder world, more conducive to helping each other as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. I what happened when people become more aware, when they awaken, when they become more conscious, there is a deep reverence and a deep sacredness and a deep gratitude to life, because all of a sudden, everything vibrates. Like, for example, I'm sitting now in my living room, and everything is actually vibrating, which means everything is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has something to say, something to contribute, something to help. What happens when we start relating to life as something sacred and we have a sense of connectedness with everything, there's no other choice than serving, than being kind and being wanting to bring other people to join that game. There's mm-hmm. no other way.
Because you can't be competitive when you're experiencing that, can you? I mean, if you're really yourself, you can't compete, because there's no one else that's your role in the whole thing, is there?
Exactly. So, the world competition comes from a paradigm that there is a limited amount of resources.
Right.
And, if you look at Marx and all the other economical models that emerged in the early 1940s, 50s, you will see that there was an assumption that was made by one person that says the amount of resources on the earth are limited. And the more you get, the better off you are. And the more you kill or the more you eliminate your competitors, the better off you are. Well, this is based on a scarcity paradigm. There's nothing wrong with that, only that you end up experiencing life as fearful, anxious. I got to get as much as I can before other people get. The experience is so limited. So that's what happened. Now, when we come and bring into consciousness the abundance paradigm, which means, actually resources can be created at will. We can actually triple the amount of produce that a land can produce if we are tapped into what this land needs. And if we're able to create ceremonies and create the gratefulness that this land needs and the respect, the first word is respect and kindness, we can create three times as much. Like, we can feed the entire world, 6.5 billion people population right now, if there is a concerted effort and there is a concerted awareness that we're all interconnected. So when we move from a scarcity paradigm that was invented in the early 1900s, which is really, I must admit, it's a Western paradigm. This paradigm existed, but on the edge, on the minorities of the Eastern tradition.
Hmm.
In the Western tradition, there was a lot of fear-based, because of a lot of tragedies and significant events that impacted, that created a lot of killing and disease. So we, as a species, as we evolved as human beings, we entered through a dark period. It started in the Middle Ages, and then it moved to a dark period that we were like, wow, we have to take care of ourselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, somebody else is going to come and kill us.
Mm.
Well, we no longer need this paradigm anymore. Now that we are actually aware with creator consciousness, which is actually how to create, how to manifest, how to attract, there's no need to be so fearful and operate from a scarcity. We can move to an abundance mentality. An abundance mentality has much higher vibration than scarcity mentality. Now, abundance mentality is very tricky, because first you have to believe, and then you enter the realm of abundance. When you enter the realm of abundance, then you start manifesting and you start collaborating and you start celebrating the sacredness of everything. So,
well, Natalie, let's use an example. I'm thinking of a young couple. This is just a typical example. And the housing, he was doing really well in real estate. Everything has fallen apart. And how would you talk about moving a 38-year-old man with two kids and a wife who they've lost everything, they're about to foreclose on their rental house, they don't know if they can pay for their own house, and he was really good in real estate. So I just would like to use this as an example. How do we help move him into the consciousness of abundance and help him create? He's a good entrepreneur.
Okay, great. So that's a great question, and I'm trying to see how to...
And I know you're an intuitive, too. We want to talk about you in a bit, but I just think people need to hear get into the grassroots here of the smashing system, because I believe you're very inspiring about that.
That's right. So, look, I mean, you know, when we talk about a little bit my history, you will learn that I grew up in the Middle East, and it's a war zone pretty much most of my adult life, from probably when I was born till about 25, 27. And what
was that very scary at times?
I'm sorry?
Was that very scary, frightening?
It was very scary and very frightening. But you know what happened to me? Because of that experience of living in a place that has a war as a language, everything is resolved through conflict and through war. You know, I was born in Beirut to a Jewish family, and then we fled our country. We moved to Israel. We were immigrants in Israel. We didn't know the language. We didn't know how to acclimate into the new land. And then Israel was in a state of war for most of my adult kids, and I was even serving in the military.
So, oh, my.
And I'm going to link it to your question, because I feel like it's a personal evolutionary process. What do I mean by that? Because of my upbringing, I had a very strong belief that if I work hard, if I fight hard, if I protect as much as I can what I have, then I will survive. And, you know, that paradigm did work well for previous generations, because, indeed, most of our ancestors, even your ancestors, Veronica, and the listeners, the conditions of life that our ancestors had to face was very, very...
life and death.
It was life and death, exactly. I mean, literally, we lost my brother during the war. So when I was living in Lebanon, and my parents, you know, I mean, there's a whole personal story around it, but it was literally life and death. So what happened is, as I moved to the United States about 11 years ago, a new paradigm starting to emerge, because I didn't need anymore to fight so hard, to defend so hard, to be so protective of my resources so hard, because I entered into California, which compared to where I come from, it's a world of abundance.
Hmm.
Okay, so.
And were you already an intuitive and clairvoyant? Like, when did you become that?
Yes, so I was already an intuitive and a clairvoyant, though I've been focusing more and more on this gift the last few years. So I always had it, but it was mainly among my friends and family and among circles of people that I had deep conversations with, philosophical conversations. So this emerged there. But right now, it's much more, it's literally a gift that I use everywhere in my life. And I will talk about the clairvoyance in a minute, but I do want to go back and just complete the question about the couple who lost everything and they have debt and they are going to be kicked out of their house. What I'm trying to say is there is a personal evolutionary process that people have to go through, how to emerge from a fear-based attachment to their house, their country, what they have, their job. And that attachment is really, it's physical. It's a strong attachment, as if you're holding when you go on a ride, and the ride is very fast, you're literally holding to your seat as if this is your life. This is how some people are holding on to what they have right now. Now, why am I saying that? There is a personal evolutionary process, and those people, and look, I went through the same thing. We have to understand that beyond the immediate needs that we have, there's a much greater world. And when we start tapping into it personally and start experimenting with it and playing with it, then abundance starts to manifest out of nowhere. I mean, literally, things just show up at your door. Things you receive call, you receive. But the thing is, you have to have faith and trust to enter that realm. It's literally a new realm. So each person is going to go through he or her own personal transformation, and then we're going to go through this transformation collectively. So this is to answer your question about the people who are losing their home. Look at it as an opportunity. I know it sounds ridiculous. How can that be? How can losing my home be an opportunity? But if you do look at it as an opportunity and as like, wow, okay, so I might not live in a three-bedroom house. I might need to live in a one-bedroom house and rent a place for the next year. But okay, let me see what opens up for me and my family as a result of that. So if you look at everything as a blessing in disguise, there's a whole new realm that you can enter into. And then when you start swimming, it's delicious. It's delicious because it's like you feel that there is a field, there's a spirit behind you. And not only the spirit is behind you, but everything around you wants to help you.
But it's interesting because we have so much news media stuff. I'm not wanting to preach on that. I just know that the influence on people is pretty scary right now because of what's being pumped out of the media all the time, you know. Loss, loss, loss,
exactly.
Loss.
Yes, Veronica, and this is what, when I speak in conferences and when I speak in front of executives and when I am interviewed, I repeat again and again, listen to what are the sources of information you're gathering your perception from. Is it CNN? Is it the TV? CNBC? Is it any other? Who are those people who are conveying to you this information? Because this is a filter, right? So
right.
What happens, there are billions of events that are happening around you, and you're choosing to tune in into a very specific narrow channel of information. And that channel of information, the level of vibration, the level of consciousness of that channel is relatively low. It's used to report only about fear and crime and death and collapse. So what's happening is when you get in tune with a channel of information that has low vibration, you end up subscribing into the belief system of that channel. So it's really important to be aware who is feeding you information. Is that your own information? Just sit quietly in your home before you need to make a really important decision, before you call everybody. Sit down, take a deep breath, and ask yourself, okay, what am I feeling here? Wow, this is important. Okay, what would I do if I didn't have this obstacle? So you actually start tapping into this infinite source of knowledge that everybody has. It's like, you know, it's like the internet, and everybody has access to the internet. It's the same way with this intelligence, wisdom, consciousness. Everybody has access, personal access to that consciousness. You don't need external media to tell you what's wrong and what's right. Once you tap into your own personal awareness, you know what's wrong and what's right for you and your family, then you can entertain yourself with a movie, with the news here and there, but that's not your core source of information, especially with the vibration of the media channel is so low. So what I'm saying is it's very important to notice who are your sources of information, what books are you reading, what conversations are you having, who are your friends, who are the businesses that you are conducting transactions with, how are they treating you? Are they low vibration or high vibration? And you know, when people ask me what is low vibration or high vibration, we don't need to get so esoteric here. It's very simple. When you enter into McDonald's or when you enter into a national park, there's a big difference. If I enter into a McDonald's that there is homeless people there and the food vibration is very low and people are really completely desperate versus if I enter Yosemite or a national park here in California, the vibration is different. The park is all full of flowers and waterfalls, and the vibration is higher. when the vibration is higher, your consciousness is higher because it has to match the environment you're entering into. And when you enter into an environment that has higher consciousness, chances are your belief system changes, the reality changes, what you manifest changes, how you attract changes, everything changes.
I love that. That's really true. Now let's get into business as well, because the reason I narrowed it down to this one couple is just because consciousness and business and new business right now is a really, really exciting and important field, isn't it? You know, to move us out of the old system, the old paradigm. And I know you're really a purveyor of that wisdom.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, it's interesting because when I moved to Israel and I started my life, I became an engineer and then I studied business. I studied master in business and I continued on to work in high-tech companies. I realized that business is a gift. Okay? You know, I live in San Francisco, which San Francisco is a very interesting place because it's a melting pot of environmentalists, of high technology people that are innovating with Apple and, you know, and Yahoo and Google. And then it's a very spiritual place. There's a lot of psychics and people who believe in higher realms and in spirit and how it can help us manifest. So the reason I'm saying that is I realized that the secret to moving through this next phase and into the next evolutionary process that humanity is going through is not rejecting the environmentalists or rejecting the artists or rejecting the business people or rejecting the technology, but embracing it all. And this is where the beauty comes, because when we start embrace and when we start recognize the gift that companies have brought, and, you know, I can talk about how, you know, I mean, think about it. If we did not have business on a large scale that we have right now, could we have fed billions of people the way we do right now? Could we have created shelter? Could we have been able to invent airplanes with such a sophistication and space shuttle and land on the moon? No, it's a business that creates those beautiful, incredible technological advancement, and it's able to provide us what we need. I mean, look at that. You can go online, you can go to your favorite restaurant, order something, and within 20 minutes, your food will be delivered to your door. It's an unbelievable representation of how we are able to manifest, okay? Mm-hmm. So I feel like businesses are very important in our collective manifestation, collective consciousness. Now, the question is whether business is focusing on the right things or are focusing on the scarcity, fear, debt-creating banks, bailout paradigm. This is what the question, and this is where...
That's a big question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the reason I'm mentioning that is business, you know, in the early turn of the century, the original business owner really cared about the community. They really cared for serving good food, good banking system, good piece of garment or of a suit that they would provide to the community. That actually started really, really in a very good way, but we lost our contact, I believe, the last 20 years when we thought that the more the better, the more we produce, the more the lower the time to production, the more efficient we become, the better. This is when we started losing touch with what actually business is all about. Business is a service, it's a community service. Right. And when businesses lose that and all they do is try to manipulate the number to show their top performance in Wall Street, this is where we're out of sync with the essence of business. So I am a very enthusiastic supporter of businesses, because I know that the intention of every CEO is good. The intention of every person who starts a company, you know, if you look at Google's mission statement, their mission statement is to provide information anytime, from any place in the world to anybody. So the mission statement is beautiful. Now the question is, how can management of the business keep the mission that is basically service and community-based, keep that mission alive and not give in into starting to manipulate the number, starting losing money, starting creating financial reports that don't really reflect who they are, how to, you know, work kids in Africa and in Asia and in India who are making 7 cents in an hour and then selling garments at Macy's for $300. There's something here that is disconnected.
Really?
And that disconnect has to be brought into light, which means brought into consciousness, and just shifted. And I believe it starts, why am I so passionate about business? Because business has so much power. Business has access anywhere in the world. It has a network of providers, of suppliers, of retailers. And if we harness that network that's already established and raise the consciousness of that network, of the leadership, then could you imagine what kind of a world will it be that everybody will walk around not being afraid about how they're going to pay their mortgage, but being excited and curious about what new creativity they want to bring forth, what kind of new ideas they have, how can they collaborate. So what I'm saying is, in the new world that we're headed towards in the next 10, 15, 20 years, we're moving from scarcity to abundance. We're moving from competition to collaboration. We're moving from low vibration to high vibration. And the potential is exhilarating. And I'm experiencing it myself, and this is why I'm so passionate about it.
Well, are you actually going in and helping bigger businesses shift from one level of consciousness to another, or from one paradigm to the other?
Yes, I am. So
that's, you know, a challenge.
It is a challenge when people are not ready to listen. You know, it's like somebody is knocking on your door and he's selling, I don't know, he's selling something you don't want to buy because you're not aware that you need. So it's hard when the leadership is not aware of the trajectory, the movement, the flow that we're headed towards. But when executives and when leadership has actually awaken and have noticed that, wow, the way things are in the world, things could be different, then their mind is open. They start meditating. They start connecting with their own soul, with their own purpose for life, with their own business purpose. Those people are my favorite type of people to work with, and we work with people from IBM, for Apple, from Safeway. So when you work with people who already personally tap into that new potential, they're much more welcoming and open to start shifting little by little the paradigm.
Well, it's really hopeful to think that people who are already established in a, you know, well established in a business can actually be transformed in that role, in that identity.
Exactly. So you know, it's a personal evolutionary process, like I mentioned earlier about the couple who's losing their house. And it's a personal evolutionary process for the executives and for the leadership. But what my experience has showed me is when I actually trust and I have faith and I move towards that new consciousness, things around me realign themselves to support me in my growth. And this is exactly how businesses can operate. And actually, there are quite a lot of businesses in the Bay Area, in Northern California, and in the U.S. and Europe, that actually are believing more and more in the power of money, the power of business, in the power of it to change the world, to create radical social change, environmental change. And the more those companies are able to harness that wisdom into their business structure, the more successful they are. And I must tell you, it's either the business who's going to go through this transformation internally, or the market forces are going to enforce them in a way or make them change. Why am I saying that? Like, look at Walmart, which is actually a very good example of a company that has provided for, you know, most of the American people with affordable merchandise that they needed. And for many, many, many years, their core competitive advantage was their low prices, their profitability, their efficiency, their effectiveness. And now, all of a sudden, they have a whole new program that actually will qualify every Walmart product to become green, sustainable, socially responsible. Why is Walmart doing that? Is that
wow. Wow.
Now, not only that Walmart is actually doing that to, because there is a higher demand for healthier, higher vibration products, but it's a very smart strategic decision. So it's okay, you can make the decision to raise your vibration because strategically it's good for you, or because you really know the value it can provide to the world. So either way is okay, but what I can tell you, the market forces are leading us to reinvent the paradigm and the business rules of how things operate. It's not anymore about only about bottom line, it's also about how you're creating this bottom line. What kind of business environment do you have? Are your people happy when they come to work every day? Do you feel like they're really fulfilled? Do you feel they're creative, collaborative? Once you have so much revenue, what do you do with your revenue? Do you go around and perhaps create a foundation that will able to help less fortunate communities, or do you just hoard it internally and build another mansion for your family, which I'm not judging. It's perfectly okay to do that, but what are the decisions that you're making with the business that you have? And I feel like the higher the consciousness of the leadership of the business, of how the business is collaborating, creating, relating to one another, what products are they bringing forth, the higher the vibration, the more successful they will become, because the universe, the creativity of the universe wants to support those leaders.
And some of the people that are in leadership positions are being cracked open by experience, aren't they? Sort of pulled into a self-awareness.
Exactly. You know, I have to admit that the most powerful transformation that I have experienced when I work with executives, specifically, for example, I work with a few executives from IBM, is when they come to the realization that the way they live their life is no longer serving them. It's no longer serving their families. They don't want just to make a paycheck and go home and can't wait for Friday and then Monday comes again. They don't want to live life like this. So when people come to this realization and have their own internal awakening or internal realization, it's a beautiful ground for creativity. They come thirsty, willing, open, and with that state of mind, incredible transformation happened. Incredible. And literally, some people call it miracles, but it really looks like miraculous on how things all of a sudden start to shift, relationships start to shift, the way the family is communicating shifts, the way the business conducts itself, how much it's attracting. You work less, you generate more. All of a sudden, things that you could never imagine would have happened, but happening by themselves.
Is it a global rising consciousness in your mind? What I mean, yes. Is it happening in China? Is it happening in the oil fields? Is it happening in the military?
Yes, I believe it is global. I believe we have seeds that are planted in different areas, and those seeds are blooming into becoming like trees, and those trees have different, you know, it's like you have different variety of trees. So different trees, if you plant seed in Kuwait, or if you plant it in the Middle East, or if you plant it in Russia, or if you plant it in Vancouver, or if you plant it in Mexico, chances are the tree will behave in a different way and it will have different characteristics. So I believe there are many, many light worker, I call them, or consciousness worker in disguise in many, many of those countries. But the shape and form that they take to raise consciousness changes. For me right now, the form that I take is in my healing, energy work, clairvoyance, business, executive facilitation and coaching and guidance. So, but different, like you have, Veronica, you are a wonderful psychic and a healer. So you have your own form of raising consciousness. So each one of our viewers, listeners, have a different way how they raise consciousness. If indeed they're aligned with their core purpose, with their essential life force, with their soul, this is a whole other conversation of the more aligned you are with your gift, the more your vibration is higher. The higher the vibration, the more system, high consciousness system you create around you. And system can be a family, a community, school, anything. But it starts with you. This is what I'm trying to say. Higher vibration and higher systems do not show up out of nowhere. It starts with people, because people are a co-creative, very sophisticated, co-creative entities that have the capacity to envision, to align themselves, to dream, and then to manifest, to collaborate with other people who have different gifts, and to manifest. So we actually have, for the first time in literally millions of years, we have the capacity to bring heaven on earth.
Yeah, I believe that. Do you think that we're kind of like little seeds wanting to get to our divine plan, more and more of us in this time? Do you think we're kind of seeded that way as species, as a species, as individuals in the species?
Yes. And you know, Veronica, when we started the conversation, I was sharing about how it's a personal shift of consciousness and it's a collective shift of consciousness. When I say collective, what I really mean, it's actually collective is a collection of people. And when individual people raise their consciousness through different means, and you know, there's probably 10,000 ways to shift your consciousness, but when people start to get in touch with higher vibratory personal systems, then they start building systems around them. They start to collaborate in a different way. And the businesses they create by nature, like it's a universal law that a higher vibration person will create a higher vibration environment and will make higher vibration choices. It's natural law. It's like a flower that has been raised in a beautiful environment, in a gorgeous garden, when there's enough sun and soil and water, versus a flower that's hidden and it's in a cave and it's all being lower vibration. Now, I do want to mention something, because I don't want our listeners to think that when I talk about higher vibration or lower vibration, there's no judgment here. It's really a way to articulate a reality. There's some realities that have a more expansiveness and more abundance to them, and some realities that are constricting, that are creating us and making us more anxious, more fearful, and more limited in the experiences we could have. So actually, higher vibration invites you to experience more. And this is, I think, why it's so exhilarating and why you want to be so excited about, because it's not just doing good for the sake of doing good. You feel good when you operate in a community that has high vibration. All of a sudden, you feel supported, you feel guided, you feel that everything you want is actually, you want to cry. I mean, so many times when I look at my life and I look at my friends and family and my relationship and the kids around me, I want to cry, because it's such a beautiful world that is just waiting. It's calling us to raise up, shake up all the fear, you know, guilt, shame mentality that we had, shake it up, heal that, and then step up into a whole new world. And that new world is exhilarating in the experience it can provide us.
I agree. It's really exciting. So you were telling me on the phone, we had a brief chat yesterday, and we were talking about how fascinating it is what the products are right now, which kind of relay the message of where we're going as a species as well. You want to talk a bit about today's products?
Yes. So when we start taking care of ourselves, taking care of our soul, of our spirit, of our heart, of our body, of our mind, when we start aligning all those realms of existence inside of us, we start listening to them, we start nurturing them, there's a whole new experiences we want to experience. Now, let me go a little bit more specific. So if you feel that you would like to go to nature and hike, be in nature, or go and create a new idea that will bring a significant value to people around you, the way you're going to interact with people, the products and services you're going to want to buy or you're going to want to exchange, it's not only about buying, because even the economic system is going to change. I mean, I can tell you that because I've been receiving insights about what's coming. And the way what money represents, how we're collaborating, where we're headed, everything is going to change. Everything is changing already. And the products and services are the ones who are going to provide you higher vibration experiences. Okay? Now, higher vibration experiences you can have through food, through family, through places, through journeys you're going to take into nature and into space, which we are headed there very in a pretty consistent manner. So the products and services are going to be into higher vibration experiences. And you can feel higher vibrations by, you ask yourself, how do I feel? Do I feel good? I feel great. How does my community feel? How does my family feel? Now, the more products and services, this is why there is, you know, the, for example, I'm a very dedicated yoga practitioner. There's a reason that yoga that started thousands of years ago in India, which is a whole philosophy, is blooming in the US. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Now, why is that? Because people, after they go to a yoga class and they have the experience, they have something in their energetic field shift. And as a result of that, they're more creative, they're more effective, they're more efficient. So they go and want to have more yoga services or more spa services or more community collaborative Facebook in interaction. Why is that? Because those products and services are allowing them to get in touch with themselves, to raise their vibration, and to collaborate and to create. So what I'm trying to say, I believe that in the next century, even in the next 10 years, I would assume, products and services such as in the health and wellness, in the psychic and energy transformation. I mean, listen, when I speak with executives at Safeway, and I can tell them, look, guys, you can actually boost your revenue, maybe even triple it, if you actually start tapping into the energy field before you actually go and build your product. It is very attractive. So people want to know how to do that. Mm-hmm. How do you become a millionaire, or how do you become a person with abundance or a company that has a bigger and bigger market share, working less and being happier? That's fascinating. Well, the answer to this, how you can create more, be happier, and work less, the answer is with the energy field, is with the spiritual esoteric field. So people are going to ask more and more for services like yours, Veronica, mm-hmm. for services like ours, for services that raises their personal vibration. Mm-hmm. Because when their personal vibration raises, all of a sudden their sixth chakra, their seventh chakra, the chakra that allows them to see clearly, to manifest, from the third, from the fourth, they open up. And when your chakras are open and they're aligned, and you don't have all belief systems that are holding you back, all of a sudden you create abundance with joy and with less work. So more products and services such as energy workers, clairvoyance, technologies that are allowing...
Well, connection things, like you were mentioning the iPhone, which I just got one.
Oh, my God, it's delicious. This little gadget is unbelievable. And, you know, for me, it's unbelievable not only because Apple is one of my clients. It's irrelevant. What's relevant is, how did Apple take this little iPhone and bake into that iPhone all this intelligence and all those things that people want and are communicating? Like, I can be on my iPhone and text to 200 people, where am I and what am I doing? And they connect with me. There's a sense of familiarity, of connectedness. All of this is related to higher vibration products and services. iPhone, Google, organic food, going into nature, spending time, quality time with family, meditation, getting in touch with your mind, body, spirit, all those are higher vibratory systems.
That's for
sure.
The
more you get in touch with them, the more creative you are there. So this is my anticipation for the next 5-10 years, more and more health and wellness and creativity and innovation in that direction will come.
Now, well, and you mentioned money. I'd like to talk a tiny bit about money. One of my clients wrote me a letter and said, talk about alternative investment styles. And you said money is going to change radically. And I'm being told that real estate will never be the same as it was. It's going to evolve. It's going to jump forward in a new way. So I'm like, what do you see about the economic reality of our planet? Money.
Okay, so economic reality, so because we live on planet Earth, even though there's other dimensions of existence and with other physical laws, in this reality that we live here on planet Earth, we are here to manifest in the physical form. This is how our spirit grows. This is how we go through our journey. Now, because we are here to manifest in the physical realm, we come up with products and services. And my belief is the way we're going to create those products and services, the way we're going to exchange them, the value of products and services is going to change. No longer, perhaps, Wall Street will be our guideline for our GDP and for our economic well-being, but maybe another index will come up. Like, you know, in Bhutan, they have the, you know, National Health Index. National Happiness Index.
Oh, yes, I read that.
So what I'm trying to say is we are still going to create in the physical realm. This is still our mode of growth and mode of communication. We're still going to come up with products and services. Though, how are we going to create those products? How are we going to exchange them? How are we going to collaborate? How are we going to pay for them? The value system, the index that is going to measure our progress is going to change. And we are actually starting to see that already. Like I mentioned earlier, Walmart, they are actually coming up with a whole new index on all their products that is showing what is the footprint, the ecological footprint that took to manufacture this shirt that you're wearing. Where did it come from? What's the ecological footprint it has? So you see, instead of just saying, what's the price made in China, there's going to be a measurement that says, oh, this has a 90% ecological footprint. Am I willing to pay $2 less and have 90%? I mean, I've wasted the land and the soil and the people. So people will have different choices. And when people can see more, when their consciousness is able to see what is the ecological footprint that I have, they can make different decisions when they have choices. So to answer your question, we're still going to work in the physical matter because this is the physical realm that we're in. Though, how are we going to create it? How are we going to exchange it? The value things have is going to change drastically. And the things that used to have so much value in the past is going to be less and less the more consumers are going to be hooked and attached to those kind of services, you know? So, like, you know, like everything, like think about cigarettes, think about, you know, McDonald's. And they, again, I don't want to say anything about McDonald's, but how they come up with their product, the type of production line they have, the quality of their food and where it's coming from, you know, ask yourself, is it really how you want to live on planet Earth?
No.
And the question is very, very clear. So business models are going to change. Executive decisions are going to change. The type of products that are going to be offered are going to be higher vibration, which means more and more aligned with 4, 5, 6, and 7 chakras.
Great.
Which means more connected to a heart energy, to a creativity energy, to a ability to see the future, and to ability to connect with source energy, which is the creative force that exists everywhere.
That's so, you know what, Natalie, I have to end this, and I don't want to. Will you come back and visit us soon?
Of course, I would love to.
Yeah, because we're going to be pulled off stage here, and I'm fascinated by what you're saying, and I'm very, very inspired.
Thank you, Veronica. Thank you for contacting me, for reaching out. I'm very intrigued by your work as well, by VBS Radio, so I'm very excited to continue that conversation. I would be very happy. Now, if anybody wants to ask anything, you can find me at nataliezaituni.com. That's my website that has all the information. And I'm very happy to talk, to bring forth this conversation, you know, whoever is interested.
All right. Well, and it's also consciousbusinesscenter.com as well, in case people want to go in that way, right?
Exactly. So you can go through Conscious Business Center or through nataliezaituni.com. All those websites have my contact information and my team contact information, and we would be very happy to collaborate in any way.
Wow, you have a lot of information, and I haven't had enough of you, so you'll be hearing from me again. So thank you ever so for coming on and inspiring us today.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
Good night, Natalie.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Well, wasn't it good to know, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, that we can actually build business in where we're looking at economic devastation and houses and all that? And the guides keep saying we're going to have a whole different way of doing, for example, real estate. And Natalie's given us some great foundational material to bring our long-term consciousness work into real faith and action, rub up against each other's shoulders and make sure that we keep our frequencies high. I'll see you on Thursday night with Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Consciousness Explorations in Consciousness. I'll come back next Tuesday. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about on Radiance, but we'll talk with you. I think it'll be about more defensiveness. Yeah. But 5 o'clock next week will be Almeen, who you know is quite an amazing a channel and consciousness mover as well. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you'd like to be in touch with me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I love to do sessions with you. I'd love suggestions for more paradigm shifters. I really want to get Natalie back on again, and I want to take some love from the universe and the connection to source, run it through our bodies and send it out to all of us who are in this wonderful, loving, expansive consciousness community. Good night. We'll see you next week.